In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Unfortunately, this week we've once again had another school shooting and another tragedy that we've had to deal with. And as is usually the case, we have people who are looking for easy answers and for someone or some group of people to blame. But while it may be true that some new laws may be of some help in one area or another, and while it may be true that the Uvalde Police Department and the local school district need to review some of their procedures and think about replacing some people from their positions of responsibility, the bottom line of it is the problem's a lot bigger than that. These are easy answers, but they're not the answers that we really need. 110 years ago last month, we had a tragedy that was nearly 100 times as big in terms of its loss of life, and that was the sinking of the Titanic. But I think that that tragedy gives us a historical perspective to help us understand what problem we're facing right now. Most of us know the basic story of the Titanic. It was the world's largest ship. It hit an iceberg in the middle of the North Atlantic at nighttime, and it had only enough life rafts or about half of the people who were on board. The crew of that ship had sailors that were the same age or even younger than the shooter in Uvalde. And famously, they prioritized putting women and children on those rafts. And most of the men who put them on those rafts knew that they were going to drown, and most of them did. They did this because people in those days understood that this was what a man ought to do under such circumstances. They had a sense of chivalry, which is a word you hardly ever hear anymore, an honor that we in our culture don't even bother to try to teach to our children anymore. Those men grew up with heroes that provided examples of what it meant to be a man. And the vast majority of them grew up with fathers in the homes. And the ones who didn't benefited from the fact that they grew up in a healthy society where most of their friends did grow up in homes with fathers, and they also had other men in their lives like grandfathers and uncles who would step into that role and teach them how to be men. They knew what it meant to be a man. They knew that to be a man means to be willing to sacrifice yourself for women and for children. And no one debated what it meant to be a woman back in those days because they knew. They knew what it meant to be a woman and they knew what it meant to be a man. The Uvalde shooter, on the other hand, murdered innocent women and children. The first person he shot was his own grandmother in the face. And then he went down to the local elementary school and he proceeded to kill two women teachers and 19 children between the ages of 9 and 11. He didn't have a father in his home. He grew up in a culture that mocked real heroes and instead made heroes out of scoundrels and out of deviants. He had no sense of honor, no idea of what chivalry was, and he hardly had any ability to interact with people in the real world because he lived most of his life on the internet. The easy answers here are to pass more laws or to blame the police or the school or blame some group of people. But the hard answers is that our culture is sick. And that's the answer that most people don't want to hear. We have a sick culture. We live in a country that long ago renounced really being one nation under God, and now we are one nation under God's judgment. And that's a fact. Now, I don't have to be a prophet to tell you that. I just have to know what the Bible says and know that when you kill a million babies a year, that you're going to be under God's judgment. That's a clear teaching of Scripture. And there's a whole lot of other things that our country has done in the last 60, 70 years that has put us under God's judgment. We kill a million babies a year since 1973, and then we wonder how a young man might think that it was okay to kill a bunch of children. That's how sick this society has become. The question we have to ask is, what can we do? Because I know that those of us that are believing Orthodox Christians don't approve of the kinds of things that we've seen in our society. There's only so much that we can do to try to change the culture. We should do what we can do, but there's only so much that we can do. But what we can do, for sure, what we have a lot more control over, is the culture in our own home. You should not allow your children to be raised by TV or by the internet or by movies or by their friends. You should not allow your children to have smartphones. If for some reason your children need to have phones at all, they should be dumb phones, the phones that don't have internet access, and they'd still do make those and sell those, because giving a smartphone to a teenage boy is like giving a gun to a chimp and expecting that nothing bad is going to happen. That's just really not a good idea. And I see more and more young people who don't have basic social skills, and it's not their fault. It's the fault of people who allowed them to live their whole life online, and that's the interaction that they have. But it turns out just online interaction doesn't really satisfy people. We crave direct human interaction. We need to be able to know how to go about doing that. But we are retarding people by allowing them to live in this virtual world and keeping them from being able to actually have normal, healthy relationships. Another thing I would say is that you should not let the public schools raise your children. If you have any choice in the matter, you shouldn't have your children in the public schools. And you should watch out about private schools, too, because it depends on the private school. I can tell you, even when I was in school, there were times when if my parents would have let me get away with it, I would have stopped going to school. Well, this kid's parents did let him get away with it, so he dropped out of high school. But he apparently was bullied. The public school environment can be very toxic, and that's not really all that new. What is new, though, is the absence of anything positive in a child's life to give them the skills to be able to deal with that. The famous feminist Gloria Steinem used to say, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. And if you're a woman that just wants to have a career and make money, then maybe you could see men that way, that men are just like a bicycle to a fish, you don't need them. But if you're a woman who actually wants to raise children, if you want to have a family, then you need to have a man who's going to be your husband, and you need a man who's going to be the father of your children, especially for boys, because as good as mothers are, they're not good at teaching boys how to become men. Boys need men to teach them how to be men. And if they don't have men in their lives that are going to teach them that, they're going to learn it from punks, and they're going to grow up to be a punk and not a man. That's just the reality. And of course, we don't always have choices in terms of what happens, because we're not the only ones making choices. But to the extent that we have any control over it, we need to try to make sure that our children have a father in the home taking care of them. And don't have children if you're not in that situation. Make sure you're picking them on the front end and picking the right ones, because your children don't have any choice about who their parents are, but you have a choice over who your children's other parent's going to be. The other thing that we need to do is to not allow ourselves to fall into despair. We are constantly being bombarded with things that are designed to keep us in a constant state of anxiety and fear. And some of this is people who are trying to manipulate the population, and some of it is just demonic, but that's the reality that we live in. We as Christians need to be able to see past this. If you read the Bible, there's a certain kind of literature that's called apocalyptic literature, and Revelation is an example of that. And you'll notice that when you read those books, that they focus on the cosmic reality of what God is doing in the world. And this kind of writing in the scriptures came from times when everything around people was falling apart, when there was nothing that they could see in the world that gave them any hope. That was when they started to look to God and to contemplate the ultimate truth, that God was in control, that he was on his throne, and he was going to win in the end. We are in a time like that. We need to keep that in mind. God is on his throne. If you're a believer, you should know that. The Psalms say, the Lord is my light and my Savior. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the defender of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? Physical death is not the worst thing that can happen to you. It's not the worst thing that can happen to your children. It's a tragedy. I can't imagine being a parent of an elementary school kid and losing that child. But as tragic as that is, that's not nearly as tragic as having a child grow up that doesn't know God and winds up going to hell. Spiritual death is the worst thing that can happen. We need to only fear God, because men can only kill our bodies, but the world can only destroy our souls if we cooperate with it. and we have a choice in that matter. We can refuse to cooperate with that. You don't need to fear death because Christ is risen. Amen.